Welcome to the Omfit podcast.
Hello, I'm Neil Williams. I'm Chief Economist at Omfif, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast celebrating the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee's 25th birthday in May. So who better to have join us than Dr. Andrew Sentence to share his thoughts. Welcome, Andrew.
Great.
Before we turn to you, Andrew, just a quick reminder for listeners, if indeed they need it, that you, Andrew, of course, were an external member of the MPC from October 2006 to May 2011, and since then have been senior economic advisor for PwC and presently senior advisor to Cambridge Econometrics. Now, on the MPC, I remember well what I would describe, you were one of the most active and outspoken external members, if I may say so. I would say you were never afraid to go against consensus. And again, I remember you having voted for interest rate rises as CPI was heading above 5% in 2011. So perhaps there's a bit of that sounds familiar for today. So with the MPC at, shall we say, a quarter of a century not out, it's time to take stock and the risk of adding the odd cricket analogy on the way. Andrew, could you first of all, please, perhaps share with us your experience of the Monetary Policy Committee?
Well, I joined the Monetary Policy Committee in 2006, and that was a honeymoon period before the global financial crisis. And then when the global financial crisis hit from 2007 onwards, then that was the main preoccupation of the MPC. One of the things, however, that struck me about the MPC during that period and when I originally joined was how open it was to debate and from dissenting ideas from members, which I think is something that hasn't necessarily carried forward through into the current era. And the other thing that strikes me, which struck me when I joined the MPC, was the main issues driving the MPC were global economic issues. And they were dominant, obviously, in the global financial crisis, but they've been dominant even since then. And the MPC perhaps has struggled, along with other central banks, to deal with how we cope with these global economic shocks.
So given that there have been, three recognised global crises, perhaps, since the MPC started, and to carry on the cricketing analogy, what would you say have been the main runs scored in the first 25 years?
Well, I think in the period from 1997 through to about 2007, first 10 years of the MPC, the MPC was living in a very benign sort of period from the way the global economy was operating. So we had globalization, the opening up of economies, particularly China, to the world economic system. That was helping to keep down the prices of consumer goods. And that was all helping on in the battle against inflation. Then after that, when we got into the global financial crisis, I think we began to experience the flip side of globalization. So we had the benign side of it from the period from 1997 through to 2007. And then after that, we've had a lot of turbulence from the global economy. That's meant that inflation has been more volatile, and the world economy has been more turbulent over that period.
So given those domestic challenges and, of course, the initial rules, the remit that was set out back in May 97 added to the international turbulence, which you may say the bank has had perhaps less influence over, what would you say were the main dropped catches, if I can put it that way, over the MPC's life so far?
Well, I think in the era which I joined the MPC, communications were very well controlled. There were rules set. There were some very experienced professionals in the bank who were managing the communications. So that's one area where I think that hasn't gone so well recently, particularly going back to 2013 and beyond with the attempt to give forward guidance under Mark Carney. I think there's been a degree of complacency that has set in on the MPC as a result of the fact that they, you know, in the period from 1997 to 2007, they managed to you know, keep very stable inflation and very low inflation. They took that for granted. And I also think that more recently, we haven't really seen the diversity of discussion, a diversity of views from members of the MPC, which would have helped, I think, in terms of creating a much better sort of outcome for monetary policy if there were more stronger views expressed against the consensus, because the MPC seems to have settled into a sort of groupthink, which has encompassed not only the internal members of the MPC, the official bank officials, but also the external members.
Well, that's interesting. You raised two things there. First of all, in terms of communications, yes, I remember well the forward guidance, which took on a different form when the MPC started to talk about an unemployment rate signpost before they may consider, in that case, raising interest rates again. Do you get the feeling that perhaps, if anything, the Bank of England shot themselves in the foot on that by trying to be too helpful and provide too much clarity?
Well, I think that the key issue with managing communications from a central bank perspective is to make sure that you can give enough information with the situation that you now face, but giving yourself enough wriggle room when things change. I think the 2013 statement on forward guidance, which you're referring to, which is about 7% unemployment, was a cobbled together compromise from the MPC. And I don't think they really sorted out properly what sort of forward guidance they needed to deliver for the future. And that undermined the whole policy. And therefore, the view that the Bank of England can offer forward guidance of some sort has been totally undermined as a result.
And on the second potential drop catch, diversity of view, how do you think that might be approached? You are rightly a self-proclaimed business economist. Do you think that there should be a greater array of economic backgrounds within the committee, or some other approaches to avoiding groupthink?
Well, I mean, maybe a sort of wider array of economic backgrounds would help. But the main thing is to have people who can speak out, particularly among the external members of the MPC, which is the category which I was appointed to speak out on issues and perhaps challenge the orthodoxy of the Bank of England. The Bank of England has, you know, a large number of economists working on the issues for the Monetary Policy Committee. It has five internal members. So you need to be quite strong to challenge that consensus. And I think there haven't been, in recent years, enough challenge to the consensus on the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee. In other words, maybe people have said, oh, I think interest rates might be a little bit lower or a little bit higher. But there hasn't been a challenge to the thinking and the way in which the bank approaches modelling the economy and understanding its dynamics.
In fact, that's a great point. Do you think having one central shared economic model between internal and external MPC members is a help or a hindrance? Because I guess for the ECB, reflecting the views of 19 countries and the Fed of different policy members leading to dot plots, they may work with different techniques. Is that a factor as far as you're concerned?
Well, I don't think we want to have lots of different economic models floating around the MPC and the Bank of England. But there are, you know, the UK has actually got a very strong macro modelling community, and there are lots of people in the academic community and in the city who can produce forecasts, who can model what's happening in the economy. And in my experience, not enough attention was paid from the MPC to those external views. So I think the solution is not to create lots of new models within the MPC, but for the MPC to be much more attentive to the wider views of the modelling and forecasting community.
So the main successes over the term so far have been stability and, as you say, CPI averaging out close to where the bank wanted it to be, but of course, inevitably, some room for improvement. Taking that on board, Andrew, what would you say are the challenges, therefore, for the MPC to adopt to be even more impressive in the years to come?
Well, I think the main challenge for the MPC is to keep itself in existence. You know, this is one of the longest periods of economic regimes that we've had, monetary policy regimes that we've had in the UK. They're normally chopped and changed in a space of less than 10 to 15 years. So the fact that we're looking back on 25 years of the MPC is a very positive thing. there's a degree of stability there. But maintaining that stability will be quite a challenge. I think the MPC needs to be much more attentive to the issues that I've pointed out, the fact that it hasn't managed global economic challenges very well, the fact it needs to have more diversity in its membership. And we have to remember that the MPC is not a single autonomous body. So the membership changes every year or every 3 years, and the way in which the committee operates reflects that changing membership. So I think there needs to be much more attention to the changing membership of the committee and also how the committee operates, and so that it is reflecting the diversity of economic opinion in the UK, where we have a very active and diverse economic debate.
As part of that debate, Andrew, are you concerned about the new tools that the bank has had to adopt since the global financial crisis, maybe greater bank supervision regulation, but also now dealing with overly stretched, I would say, balance sheets, not just in the UK, but globally, and the impression that may give about the bank's remit? Are those areas of concern for you?
Well, the bank has, you know, acquired lots of government assets, you know, government bonds, and that's been an issue in terms of concern about the independence of the Bank of England. Does that mean that the Bank of England is less independent than it was? So I think that was an issue that wasn't around in 1997 when the bank was made formally independent. It wasn't around actually just before the financial crisis. That's an issue that's emerged over a number of years, and I think the bank needs to pay more attention. And the MPC needs to pay more attention to the way in which that's managed. I think it can be managed very sensibly. And I don't think actually that unwinding quantitative easing, the bond purchases, is a big issue if it's done in the right way. But it needs to be communicated and managed much more, I suppose, transparently.
I suppose one way of doing that might be to reassure the great British consumer that subtly dealing with QT in the background is maybe one way to help to peak out at a lower mortgage rate. But maybe that's too simple to put forward.
Well, I'm not sure the public is that sort of interested in QE, QT, or all these esoteric acronyms. I think the public is more concerned with what actually happens to interest rates and also what happens to inflation. And in my view, that the initial burst of QE back in 2009 was probably quite effective in stabilising the UK economy as it was in stabilising other economies. But it's a tool that's been exhausted over the last 10 years, and I'm not sure it's actually going to do very much for us. So I think we need to focus back on interest rates and on the control of inflation, and I think that's where the Bank of England should be putting its focus now.
So there have been successes. There have been inevitably drop catches. I guess there are no counterfactuals, so we are probably better off than we would be with an independent monetary policy committee. Andrew, if I could ask you just to sum up, what in one line would you say should be the match strategy of the MPC to go from a quarter of a century not out to half a century not out?
Well, I think it would be to stick to the basics. We put the MPC in place to control inflation. And I think we've seen a big surge in inflation. We need to get it back under control. I think if the MPC does that, then it will be in good shape. If it doesn't do that, then it's going to be vulnerable.
So stick to the task. That's a lesson to us all. I will do just that now by first of all expressing my sincere thanks to you, Andrew, for sharing your thoughts. They're very much valued. And secondly, in addition, wishing the MPC a very happy birthday for May. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the OMFIF podcast.